this principle of loaves and fishes and once again I'm reading out of Matthew 14. The statement I made was no young or immature, spiritually blind or ignorant person, spiritually blind or spiritually ignorant person can make a right judgment concerning life and its changes, its challenges, and its mysteries. We just can't. The only thing that can be done is they can follow on and be taught, be instructed, learn, choose principles and paths and relationships the way that you come to the place where you can make right judgments about life and its changes and its mysteries is to follow the right path, follow in right relationships, follow in right doctrine, follow in the truth. That's why I asked at the beginning of the meeting, who are you following? What are you following in the way of instruction and doctrine? And you might say, well, I don't read many books, or and be thinking about the books that you have or have read. But it deals more, not so much with what you read, as it deals with what kind of relationships you're in. I don't know if you've realized this in your young or old life. You are greatly and more perfectly influenced and molded and changed and conformed in relationships than you are in anything you read. And the most seriously, I talked a little bit about insanity being anything that departs from normal human behavior. Can be defined in one measure or another as insanity, perversion, a twisted way of thinking, walking, acting. And most of us don't consider this in the long term. Very few of us consider in the short term the price we're going to pay for what we do, what we think, what we say. We don't consider it. And then the fruit of our thoughts and actions and words and relationships become so familiar. The fruit is so familiar that we can't taste that it's bad. I grew up on the western slope of Colorado where cherries tasted like cherries. And tomatoes were so blood red that if you got it on your clothes, your clothes were stained forever. Couldn't get it out. Tomato! Today, it looks like a tomato partly, but it has no smell, no aroma, no blood. Doesn't taste like anything. Same way with cherries. I'm amazed. I go down to Costco and I look at these beautiful cherries, take one off, very little taste. The fruit is bad.
No life.
It has no life.
But see, it says all nature shows forth, all creation shows forth the what?
Glory.
The reflection of God. I'm just going to throw some things at you to precede this loaves and fishes so you can get the concept that loaves and fishes are so miraculous, it's beyond anything man has ever experienced. Even today, people experience remission of cancer, sight getting better. There's all kinds of things that the medical society takes note of. But there has yet to be anybody pray over two loaves and a couple fish and feed 10,000 people.
Right.
Hasn't happened. This is such a remarkable miracle that it really demands much more attention than we've given it. And just as a fleeting, interrupting thought, the Spirit said to me yesterday, the time of loaves and fishes. Out of the blue. And he didn't say, it's the time, or now's the time. He just said, the time of loaves and fishes. And as I read this, I read three accounts. I read all the accounts, but I'm just going to use this one as a... I keep telling you I'm going to read it, and then I don't, but I'm going to get to it. Matthew 14, verse 15, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place. The time is far past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy for themselves food. Jesus said, they don't need to leave. You give them food. Great. They said to him, we have here but five loaves and two fishes. He said, well, bring them to me. Did you get that? Bring them to me. Bring what you have to me. I wonder how many of us do that. He commanded the multitude to sit down, took the five loaves and the two fishes, and what? Looking to heaven.
Wow.
That's a key. I want you to hold on to that thought. I made a statement that we are more greatly conformed and changed to relationships than we are to anything else. Anything that we read or that we're instructed in. We're conformed and changed in relationships. The demanding quality of a relationship is you have to focus and you have to look at somebody. You cannot have a relationship with somebody you're not looking at. He looked to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, gave to his disciples. Another key. He could have said, sit down, I'll feed y'all. Was there a time he did that? Yeah. After he resurrected, they went fishing. They came in. He said, cast your net on the side. They did. They pulled up a net full of fish, and they went to the beach, and it said he had a fire going, and he had their meal all ready for them. He fed them. In this instant, with the multitudes, and this is a type and an instruction of what we're to do. Guess what we're to do? We're to feed them. We're to feed the multitudes. Well, I don't know that I got that kind of power. Yeah, you do. You have a mouth. And if your heart is in the gospel, and if your heart is connected in love to the man Jesus and his word, you can feed 5,000. Because man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word. He gave us the power to multiply the fish.
Wow.
Duh. And they all ate and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets. What's the message here? The messenger of God will always be fed too. He'll feed everybody and end up with a full basket for himself. But only if he feeds others. Otherwise, he's stuck with 2 loaves and 2 fish, or 5 fish and 2 loaves, or whatever. Now, what I wanted to say about this was, I want you to realize the time this happened. The season, the climate, the political, financial, social. One of the things it says in another version, in another version it says, but Lord, what do you want us to do? Go into town, it's going to cost 200 pennies worth of bread alone to feed these people. Well, in Jesus' day, the average wage was about 16 cents a day. Another version says, but Lord, to feed this multitude just bread would be 8 months' salary. That's about $39, 40 bucks back then. So to feed the multitudes just bread, you're looking at 8 months' salary. So the climate back then was, you know, we don't think about this. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Let's look at the political, spiritual climate. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. What reward did he get for that? They put a death contract out on him. We don't get that. You know, Islam and the Muslim world, they have Sharia law, which has all kinds of death penalties to it. To this day. I mean, just pick something up off the street that's not yours, you lose your hand. First time, you lose your hand. Do you see where the law leads people? To insanity. Is that normal behavior? No. Is it normal behavior to cut somebody's hand off? No. Is it normal behavior to steal something? Yeah, it is. It's not Christian behavior. It's not Mosaic behavior. But when people get fearful and they get hungry and they get whatever, they'll steal. That's, you know. Now, people aren't insane that steal. People are insane that steal in the spirit of covetousness. So, Paul says, I thought this was really interesting. I think it's 2 Timothy 3:14, he says, continue thou in the things which you have both learned and have been assured of. Continue in the things you have learned and been assured of. Knowing of whom you have learned them. Now you have to understand, in Paul's context, Paul taught by what? Example. Nobody learned from Paul who didn't follow him. Nobody learned from Jesus who didn't follow him. What's probably the main message of Jesus? Follow me. It's so simple, but there's a mystery to it. So, I want to go to Hosea 5 or Hosea 6, and I want to hit a little bit on this principle of following. Following on to know. So, Hosea 6, I'm recording this, so if you don't want to just listen, that's fine. 6:1 says, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn and he will heal. He has smitten and he will bind up. How has the Lord torn and smitten? How does he tear people and smite them? How? What is this saying? With his word. You know how people get torn and smitten? By not obeying the word. Jesus said, I won't judge him. He says, my word will judge him on that last day. All the words which we have in our spirit and in our conscience that direct us, those are the words we'll be judged by in that day. You can't escape it. After 2 days, he'll revive us. On the third day, he'll raise us up. This talks about Jesus. And we shall live in his sight. Then we shall know. And here's the key verse. Then we shall know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as the rain. What's that mean? He's available. He's coming to us every morning. His mercies are new. Well, I didn't hear from the Lord today. Well, he spoke this morning. He promises in his word he'll speak every morning. And Judah, what shall I do unto you? For your goodness is as the morning cloud and the early dew. It goes away. What's this mean? It means we're in and out of following the Lord. We do good, and then we fall away. We do good, and then we fall away. That's what this is talking about. And when you fall away, what happens? You get hewed. What's that mean? You get carved on by the prophet. Well, who's that? Whoever's speaking the word of God to you that makes you mad. I've slain them by my words, the words of my mouth. Your judgments are as the light that go forth. I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Now, I want you to look at verse 6. This is a mystery here. Do you know what the Lord desires? Not the knowledge of him, but to know him.
Yes.
You can read this as, I desire mercy and not works. I desire the knowing of God, not the knowledge and practice of sacrifice and service. The knowledge of practice and service. The knowledge of practice and service. What's that? That's religion. That's how we're taught. Oh, this is what you do to please the Lord. Religion is learning to follow. Religion learns and then follows. The Son of God follows to learn. Religion learns to follow. You learn, you follow. Children of God follow to learn. What's the difference? What's the difference between learning to follow and following to learn? Yeah, relationship. I had my first solo flight before I learned how to fly. I went to ground school after I soloed. In ground school, I learned about what I did. It's the truth. I never cracked a book to learn how to fly. I never cracked a book. Never read a single sentence. I did it all through following my instructor. My instructors. In pre-flight, in theory, in action, in practice, I follow. The way of life is to follow. Who are you following? Are we really following Jesus? If we are, we are married, connected, and dissolved into His people. Dissolved into His people. We're one. We're addicted to the fellowship of the saints. He is our head. He is our inspiration. He is our motivation. And we all live together because of it. Because of Him. Without Him, it doesn't work. Why do you think people fall away from church and fall away from good fellowship? They don't fall away. They would say they fell away because of you. You're the problem.
That's right.
But when they go before the Lord, He'll say, no, you fell away because of me.
Right.
I'm the problem. You never knew me. Knowing me gives you the grace and the inspiration and the power to fellowship.
That's right. Amen.
That's how it works. So you find yourself at odds with your wife, with your children, with your friends, and you find yourself sinning because of it. Oh, this is a good excuse. Well, I fell into pornography because my wife wouldn't take me to bed. Oh, sorry, did I say that? The meeting went south. No, that didn't happen. That's not why. You fell away because you loved it. You wanted it. And you weren't connected to the head.
That's right.
Jesus gives you power.
That's right. Amen.
To walk and live on this earth with whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so He desires the knowing of Him over knowing how to serve Him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Can you learn about someone without following him? Yes. Yeah. You can learn about someone without following him. Can you know someone without following them? No. Impossible. There's a lot of people think they know me. I'm just using myself because I get it all the time. They think they know me. Oh, him, that guy up there, I heard this. Well, they don't know me. This is interesting. They don't come to the meetings. They've never sat in my office. They've never had a cup of coffee, a cup of tea. They've never gone to a jump. They've never had a meal with me, but they know me.
They don't know you.
Okay. Now, so, the principle, John 12:26. Jesus says, if any man serves me, Let him first know me. Let him first know about me. Let him first go to school and get taught. Let him go to church for a year and a half. No. If any man is going to serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, my servant will be. How simple is that? Now, I've talked a little bit about insanity. And I want to liken it to a couple of things. I'll give you a couple of illustrations, but let's look at Philippians. And the other principle comes out of Philippians. The same principle, just it's now it's Paul speaking. I follow after that I might apprehend. Wow. This is coming from a world-class scholar. One of the most highly educated Jews of his day, who the Lord put in the desert for 14 years to brainwash him, in a good sense, to wash his brain. Actually, the term brainwashing isn't a bad deal, really, when you think about it. How many of you wouldn't mind getting your brains washed once in a while? Paul says, I follow after that I might apprehend. He didn't say, I learn more that I might apprehend. I study more. I follow after that I might apprehend. Now, faith is the inspiration to follow. Faith is external. I want to try to give you a little analogy here. Intellect is internal. Faith is external. Your conscience is internal. Faith that touches your conscience is external. Now, how can I say that? Faith is a propensity of truth. Truth is the person of Jesus Christ. Faith is the person of Jesus Christ. God Almighty says in Revelation, buy from me gold, try it in the fire that you might be rich. Buy from me gold is the measure of faith in the kingdom. Faith. We need faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. Okay. Ultimate intention of everyone here is to please God. Ultimate intention in the Bible is defined as pleasing the Lord. Bottom line, our ultimate intention in everything we do should not be to do everything right. It should be to please Him in what we do. Okay? Without faith, you can't please Him. Faith is the inspiration for everything we do. It's the inspiration to follow. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Faith, because faith is external. Now here I'm going to take a little leap here. Faith keeps your mind in heaven. Now this is where it gets kind of deep. You're going to have to think about this. Where do you want your mind to be at and to where do you want your mind? Where do you want your mind to be? Most of your mind's activities, where do you want it to be? Do you want it to be internal? Do you want to be have your mind have, it's like your air conditioning, internal air conditioning, and it recirculates the air. Do you want your mind to continually be circling itself and keeping everything contained within itself? Or do you want your mind to be connected to heaven?
Yes.
Now, as a Christian, you better want your mind to be connected to heaven. Colossians 3:1, if you be risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Can you seek something without thinking of it? No. Okay, go seek that, would you? You think you can. I want you to go seek that.
What's that?
Yeah. What? Go seek what? You have to think to seek. Where is he telling you to put your mind? Seek things above. Set your affection. What's affection? It's an emotion. But I would say it also deals in the realm of of what would
desire?
Well, desire, but imagination is what I'm thinking. Imagination. Imagining. Affection works within the realm of imagination. Now, maybe you haven't thought too much about it, but if you take some time and think about it, you'll realize that imagination has a lot to do with your faith. We've kind of thought imagination is a negative thing. We imagine fantasy, we imagine all kinds of things, but what is really imagining something? It's actually getting a picture of something that you know exists but you don't see physically. Okay? I imagine, I call it projecting my spirit. Now that's not a New Age term. That's actually, I won't take the time, but I could define that in the scripture for you. I set my spirit to see. And before I do this jump, I imagine I go through a series of how it's going to be and what I'm going to do. What am I actually doing? I'm setting my GPS. You do that when you go to work, whether you realize it or not. You set your GPS mentally. You imagine what route you're going to take to work.
Yeah.
When you get up, you imagine what you're going to have to eat. Do you see how this works? So it's not a negative thing. So, the question is this. See, the Lord's raining on us. Isn't that great? He's renewing our faith morning by morning, and he's as the rain, so he's raining on us. He's raining his word on us. That's wonderful. I want to liken your mind compartmentalizing and recirculating thoughts all the time. Keeps your mind where? Keeps everything in here. What you want to do is anything that does not have a free input and a free outlet is stagnant. Lakes, water, if it doesn't have something flowing into it and something flowing out of it, it becomes stagnant. What's the Dead Sea? It's stagnant. Okay, that's why they call it the Dead Sea. All creation shows forth the what? The reflection of God. He's trying to show us something. Now, I won't go into kind of the little kind of a history about insanity, but it has a lot to do with Dead Sea.
Yeah.
It has to do more with reason and logic than it has to do with being not intelligent. So, your computer. What is the strength of the computer? The strength of the computer is not that it contains all knowledge. The strength of your computer is that you can, with that computer, plug into what? Cyberspace. All creation shows forth the glory of God. What happens to your computer when you got more knowledge in your computer than it can handle? Crash! It crashes! It has a breakdown. Gee, I wonder if that could be like us. Mental breakdown. Too much information going around. Too much logic. Too much thinking. Too much reasoning. Trying to figure all things out. We're trying to get heaven into our mind instead of getting our minds into heaven. Now, we're going to have to talk about this probably some more, because this is kind of a deep thing to think about. And you don't want to think about it too long. But let's look at Luke 18. This is our last scripture, I think. This is so powerful. Luke 18, chapter 1. Now, what has this got to do with the time of loaves and fishes? First of all, I'm given a couple concepts here. We're given two concepts. The strength of our own thinking and our own intelligence and our own information, our own following the wrong people, following the wrong information, following our own desire, all of that is on one side. And on the other side is simple faith that connects to the heavens, that gives you your direction. His name is Jesus. It goes back to the blind man. I don't know if the man's a sinner. I don't know what he did. I don't know about anything you say. All I know is I was blind and now I see. Well, that's not a real intelligent answer. No, but it works for me.
Right. I thought about that scripture, walking in the light of your own sparks.
Walking in the light of your own sparks, you'll have. This is my hand, you'll lie down in sorrow. What is the light of your own sparks? It's the recycling of everything internally. You got to get out of this internal mindset. Get up, get away from people relationally who are feeding you and instructing you and molding you into a worldly mindset. It's going to kill you. You know what it kills first? Your faith. You know what that has to do with loaves and fishes? It won't happen for you. Luke 18:1. He spoke this parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Oh, wow. Hold it. Stop. Stop. What operation is going on here? One word. I'll read it again. And he spoke this parable, that man should always pray and not faint. What operation is going on in prayer? Faith. Who prays to God who you don't believe in? Lord, I know you're not there and you can't hear me, but I got a few things I need to say to you. Nobody does that. The operation here is faith. And faith and what? Faith and fainting. What makes you faint? Oh, I'm glad you asked that question. Look at verse 9. He spoke this parable to those which trusted in themselves.
Wow.
You trust in yourself? You think you know? Let me ask you this. Yeah. Have you ever come to me and brought something up and I gave you a suggestion and you thought, no thanks. And who are you trusting in? Well, Brother Sullivan, the Lord says I'm not to look to a man. Yeah, but my counsel came from the Word. Well, it's your interpretation of the Word. But I just read it word for word. It's what it said. Oh, by the way, it says in 3 and 4 of the places. Same thing. Oh, that's not what my Bible says. What Bible do you read? Good news for modern man. Well, it ain't good news for you because it's going to lead you in the ditch.
Good. I read good news for self.
Those that trusted in themselves. Well, why would I don't know. You mean, wasn't this written by men? Yes. Who were inspirited by God Almighty. Do you know what that means? No, you don't. That's why you're asking the question. Okay. And he goes down and he gives a parable of the widow and the judge that wouldn't give her justice. And because she was importune, he gave her justice. And here's the question, verse 8. Now, get this. Daniel says, in the last days, what? Knowledge will increase, and men will run to and fro. Knowledge will increase, and men will run to and fro. There'll be great confusion. Okay? That's the last days. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, when is He coming? In the last days. We getting this? He's coming in the last days. Will He find what? Faith. Will He find men's minds connected to heaven or recirculating within themselves?
Wow. That's huge. Yeah.
When Jesus comes, I'll use John for an example. John came and sat down because he was interested in the Holy Spirit. Rick told him that, what'd you tell him? He asked where he could get the Holy Spirit, something like that. What did he ask?
I don't remember.
He don't remember, okay. Something about wanting the Holy Spirit. Rick said, well, Gene can help you with that. Let's go see Gene.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Intelligently, he didn't get that. He didn't understand that. And he didn't have a clue what he was going to get. And he didn't know what he got after he got it. Yeah, Jenny, he says, what was that? What did I get? What is this? What's that? That is the birthing of faith. No wonder it's a what is it, because most of us don't walk in faith. We walk in what we see, what we've learned, who we've learned it from. Doesn't make us bad people, just makes us following the wrong people. And gee, the message of the Savior, how many times have you read in your Bible, follow me, follow me. Where I am, there you'll be. Follow me. So I think I'll stop there. And he spoke this parable to those of us which are trusting in ourselves.
Yes.
Let's put it right where it belongs.
Yeah.
And they thought they were righteous and they despised others. And then he gives you the parable of the publican, the businessman, and the sinner. Hmm. The publican and the Pharisee, the religious know-it-all hypocrite. So what? How does loaves and fishes have to do with setting our affection on things above? With faith. Loaves and fishes is beyond anything that we recirculate within our own practice, experience, intellect, curriculum, or doctrine. We can't understand that. When Jesus said men don't live by bread alone, we thought, oh, that's a nice little idiom. That's a nice little saying. Yeah, people don't live on bread alone, Jesus, but pass the chicken, because without it, I'm dead. I mean, you know, there was an account of the soccer team that crashed in the Andes, was it the Andes?
Yes.
And they ate each other. You know, true communion. having communion with each other. And the Pope, of course, exonerated them and said that was the communion of Christ. And I think less than a mile or two away was a cabin with supplies. A wilderness cabin. They didn't find it. Why? Because all their thoughts, all their resources, all their intellect, all their mind, no loaves and fishes for you, pal. See how that works? We're living in a time where loaves and fishes is going to be necessary for us. And it's not something we need to look to get. It's something we need to look to give.
Yes. Yes.
We need to be the givers of loaves and fishes. I realize it's a spiritual mystery, but that's what this is all about. It's a spiritual mystery we're living. Amen.